Is that recording?
Yeah, we're on, but we'll do that.
You want to come closer to me?
Yeah, I'm
going to
get nice
and cozy.
Oh.
Clap.
I'm Jeremy Swiger, and this is my brief but spectacular take on automotive fuck-ups.
Yes.
Which episode is this?
This is episode 4.
Episode 4. Can Yay. We say that, or should we say automotive screw-ups for the family-friendly version
I
of our...
I got to automotive mishaps.
Ooh, because it's the mischiefs.
Right.
We're having mishaps.
Mishaps. Yeah. Go ahead, Jeremy. Let's start.
So, I was sitting here thinking while you guys were getting the SD card.
Mm-hmm. As you can see, you guys are in a new location.
And there's... Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start with that.
Yeah.
We are on location today in my garage.
Woo!
Would you consider this car an automotive fuck-up purchase?
No, but you know, they say don't meet your heroes.
Yeah.
It's.
Did you always want a... So this is a BMW 850 CIS.
CSI.
CSI.
Yes.
Okay.
This, I lusted after these as a teenager when they were new.
Yeah.
And an opportunity came about to buy it when we lived in Europe, and I did. And it is a needy mistress.
You bought that in Europe?
I did.
Oh, and you shipped it over?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. We'll leave the details about that out.
Okay.
But, yeah. So, no, huh. it wasn't a mess up.
It's just like, now I'm kind of...
It makes me nervous.
Nightmare.
Yeah, a 90s BMW would make a lot of people nervous.
What is rare? So the color, what's the color called?
It's Daytona Violet.
Daytona Violet.
It's an E30 color.
Oh, okay. Mm. Oh, yeah, okay. Right.
Special
right.
order for this.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. No, anyways. So yeah, I was thinking about all the different things.
All the times life has
most of them aren't
gone awry.
But in our first episode, did I mention my 924S?
I think we did.
Yes,
I got for
the
free.
The four banger Porsche,
the free
right?
One.
Yeah.
Wait, you got that for free?
I got it for, well, it was 2 6 packs of Bass Ale. I took to the guy and I drug it out of his garage.
Oh, so you helped him out, basically, making some room in his hoarding situation.
Right.
Well, he had a new Jag and he needed room for his Jag in his garage.
Oh, my.
So,
I'll give you basically a 6 rack or whatever, a 12 rack of beer. And
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bass Ale, that was his favorite beer. I happily drug it out of his garage.
Excellent.
And that was the beginning of learning that a free Porsche is very expensive.
Yeah. So what was already broken on it? Seize brakes?
So the starter was not working.
Okay.
But that's minor stuff. There was oil in the coolant.
That's a big
one.
How
do you get oil in the coolant?
Well, your engine is not sealed up anymore. Let itself go.
Days of not understanding how to diagnose cars properly, I assumed it had a blown head gasket. So what did I do? I pulled the head off and had the head redone, had it all fixed up, had the radiator cleaned out. That wasn't it. It was,
what was it,
and
Jeremy?
It's still cooling
it,
oil.
It was a no. Because while I was at it, I figured the problem out and fixed it.
Okay.
It had an 8-valve 944 engine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you're familiar with those, they've got an oil cooler on the side of the block. And there's a O-ring that separates the oil from the coolant.
Mm. Oh.
And that was a known failure point. It had failed.
Oh.
So there's oil in the coolant, but not coolant in the oil. But this is all pretty boring, and this isn't why I'm telling you this.
Well, okay, you know, so what's the F up? What's the mess up part then?
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
So I pull the head off, get it all fixed up. I had moved to Texas and actually drug this car out to Texas on a trailer behind my truck and worked on it in my garage. Got it all fixed up.
Okay.
Got it put back together. I am turning the key to start the engine for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't crank at first.
Uh-huh.
So I keep turning the key. And all of a sudden, do you know what an engine that has no compression sounds like?
Yeah.
You know how it just kind of...
top, bottom?
Mm-hmm. Freewheels.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the sound changed to that.
I don't like that. That's not a good thing.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I had forgotten to tighten the bolt on the timing belt tensioner.
Oh, no.
Shit.
And it jumped timing.
Oh.
So the cylinder, imagine the cylinder basically hitting the top.
Pistons are going up and down.
but the valves are already
but
there.
But now it's an interference engine, right? So your valves can be open and occupy the same space as the piston.
As the piston,
at the top,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they did.
Did they bend the valves?
I bent every single exhaust valve in that engine.
No more free 911.
It was
no more free 924.
Oh my god. So
and I was so frustrated.
I would have cried. I would have been like,
I would have just given up. I would have just laid on the floor.
Right.
Like
I have nothing left.
I may have thrown some
my
tools.
My soul has left my body.
But I thought to myself, I'm not redoing this thing.
It was free. It'll go away.
So, well, no, it didn't. No.
Oh.
I was committed, but I took it to a shop.
Okay.
And paid to have it redone again with new valves.
How much was this costing you back in the day, if you don't mind sharing?
All right. Well, so it was free. And the first go around, I think to have the head redone and new parts, gaskets and not seals, and rebuild the starter was like, I was into the car
bucks?
For $1,500.
Ooh.
Okay.
But in today's world, that would have been like $10,000.
Oh my God.
Well, and yeah, actually, you're right. Because when all was said and done, it was a lot of money for me at the time because I was pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
But it was another $1,500 to have, a shop. Fix it,
yeah.
With
so
the
I was
Bay
into
Area
it for
prices.
Oh, this was in Texas.
That's I know,
even
that
Texas
been,
too.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I go and pick the car up.
Okay.
And I'm driving home.
From the shop.
Yeah. Mm. Those cars used an elastomer spring center. It was like an Audi sedan clutch.
Mm. Oh.
So, the dampening springs.
When you put the clutch in?
Yeah. Well, there's dampening springs on clutches.
Yeah.
Yeah, to kind of, make them, I don't know, take the shot. Miles, you know how it, what do they do?
The which part of the car?
The dampening springs in the clutch.
It just takes a
shock
out.
It's just like vibration. Because they're like just like if you think about like a friction disc, because this you're talking about the friction disc.
Yeah, the friction
spinning,
disc.
And then it just kind of meets.
So what happens is I don't know like the specific engineering behind it, but in my mind, because that's like rotational and the springs are in the direction of the rotation.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they probably just dampen that initial thrust
exactly.
of it turning and just kind of allow for internal flex on the friction disc.
And like every car ever, except Audis and early 944s, have springs. Well, this car had an elastomer.
Oh.
An elastomer.
That failed on the way home.
Oh no!
And you couldn't really throttle shift it.
I was gonna say that
because nothing would sink.
Right.
Oh.
So then I spent the next. We won't admit how much time.
This sounds like a nightmare.
Pulling the clutch out. Yeah, but eventually I did. I got it finished, and it was a fun car. It was ugly as sin.
But it just took
a fun car.
But it was a fun car.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I sold it and. Didn't quite get my money out of it, but who cares?
Yeah. I've had my
smiles per miles or whatever.
Yeah, smiles per miles. I've had my fair share of
what
bad head.
What's your
what happened?
Bad nightmare car.
This is a really bad one. I won't use names or locations to protect certain people. If you know. So I used to be a Porsche technician.
Yeah.
All of our stories are gonna be about busted Porsches because they always got issues. I used to be a Porsche technician, and we had a customer. We had lots of customers that really enjoyed doing headers on their vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And headers from the factory either have bolts or they have studs. Typically, my BMW is German, but certain, like, I find that the German cars tend to have bolts for headers and, like, bolts for, like, a lot of things. Same thing with, like, lug bolts instead of like having like a lug nut on the wheel.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Porsches don't come with studded headers. The 981s didn't. The 718s did because they realized the mistake. And this particular customer wanted a Dundon exhaust headers for his 981 GT4. And the collective made a decision to stud the headers. I say the collective because this was a group effort to stud the headers. I put the studs in. I'll take full blame for it. And
I don't like where this is going.
And if you guys have ever tried to do any kind of work on the bottom half of a 911 or GT4, like you're like looking up and you're trying to like twist things in very straight. And I was doing my best to follow the directions as they were given to me. And it's like, they need to be torqued to this much. So I'm like trying to like torque down like these studs using like a double nut method because this is the only way to tighten it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that process, I'm almost sure the studs are now just slightly off. And a Dundon header.
Cross threads are better than no threads.
So Dundon headers have a really thick flange, like massively thick flange, and very tiny bolt holes.
Is there a reason they have that much material on there?
I couldn't tell you. I'm almost sure maybe for heat dissipation or something, but the regular Porsche factory flange is very thin.
Yeah.
And has very large holes.
Yeah.
So you can line everything up nice and
exactly.
Easy.
It's pretty idiot proof, especially in assembly. That's the whole point.
You know. Exactly.
Okay, Fred puts the headers in and they just slap it in just bolt it in.
Yeah. So, and also the Dundon headers have the audacity to be movable individually. So
why did they do that?
Because they were like long tube headers and they needed like not like super
they needed
long tube.
Adjustment or something
to just kind of get it in better whatever the case.
One?
Dundon.
No, each one?
Yeah, each one was you could move each one individually. So you already know where this is going.
Oh, this is going downhill fast.
And this is like a $10,000 system, right?
Oh, yeah. Probably even more. Yeah,
just a sniff.
And you're putting this on a GT4, not not our base model.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And I'm one side in. I only studied one side. I'm deep into it. And I just can't get these headers on. This is day two of just trying to get the headers on after the studs are in. And I'm like, boss man, these studs got to come out. I don't know if y'all have ever tried to extract a Loctited stud from a header on an engine that is upside down, because you're not doing this.
Right,
I'm doing this.
Yeah,
and I'm in there like I'm trying to put my shoulder into like the
dude. My shoulder would have popped out of my socket if I tried to do that myself.
So bad. So the first ones I bought an extractor tool and I got them out.
Yay,
we're doing good.
Amazing.
Awesome. We're down to like three or four studs, and then they break off. And I'm like, now I'm at the Harbor Freight, the Home Depot. I need diamond tip drill bits.
To get them out.
I need the carpet. I'm on the internet. I'm like, high strength steel. Okay. But then they tell me the carbide is better. Oh, diamond is too brittle, and that's only for like machine
military
like masonry.
Surplus
like,
now.
And I'm like, oh my god, like what am I doing? So I get some nice ones. I get the best ones I can, and like it's cutting through like butter. I'm like, gun is this way. I'm trying to like just eyeball it up.
Yeah.
I'm struggling. We had even brought in some experts to weld on some nuts to try to like spin them out that way.
Yeah.
We got a couple out that way, but then that last one, no, it was like two left, but I was going, had the hole at a nice depth. I was ready to put my little time cert in there. And I was like, I'm gonna go a little bit further. And I poked a hole in the engine.
Oh
my god, dude.
And
just a little hole.
I just sat there and I watched the coolant pour out of that
little
hole.
Oh my god.
It was just coolant. At least it wasn't oil.
Right. But even then, and I just was like,
JB Weld it.
Yeah, JB Weld.
See, now here's where
where they take the patch and they slap it on. What is that?
Yeah, it's, you know?
Here's where the story gets even deeper. Fortunately, Boss Man had a very similar vehicle and
swapped.
Did you
out
swap engines?
And swap the engine.
Oh.
You tell the customer. Oh,
I'm a technician.
Oh, you do? Well, yeah, we won't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. I'm a technician. I did what I was told after the mistake that I made.
But 50 years down the road, somebody's going to get their Porsche certificate of
operation. Okay, yeah,
exactly.
Wait, right.
It's not numbers matching.
Not numbers matching.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be a Mecum auction block. You know? Somebody's going to put a GT4 with 100,000 miles on there, and somebody's like, so, that engine isn't matching to the chassis code.
So, fortunately, did the swap. And that engine sat for a long time.
The
one with the hole in it. Yeah. Then I called the people, machining people. I'm like, hey, what is it gonna take to bring this back to life? And I told them what happened. They're like, why don't you just stick a bolt in it with RTV? These are the these are the machining
thread
people.
Sealer.
Jeremy, it was months later. The car has since disappeared.
Yeah.
We have put an entirely new engine in it. And you mean to tell me I could have saved tears, nights of being upset with a bolt in RTV?
Now you've got a 981 GT4 engine that. Can you do something with it?
We didn't. We got it fixed and put it in the other car. where the other engine came from.
So this is not a competition, but I think that takes the cake over my story.
I can keep going too, because let me tell you okay. something. I was, y'all, the world, the viewers, my people, I will not lie. I was a good technician, but I also had some really bad moments.
Oh man.
It happens to the best of us.
It happens
yeah,
to the best
and I was
us.
Learning. It was my first time at a professional job. I had never worked as a technician before, so I started out on like at a high level.
Yeah,
and
very like apprentice.
Yeah.
Ish.
At a, you know, at a smaller business, and it just, that's just kind of what it was. You just had to make
mistakes.
You're
gonna make those mistakes, yeah.
But I had a lot of good days, more good days than bad. But no, that was probably like, that wasn't the worst of my mishaps, but I got stories for days.
Scratching
the
surface.
That was probably the worst thing that happened to somebody else that wasn't myself. So, yeah.
How about you, James?
Me, it's mostly bad. Oops, that's my phone. That's okay. We'll just leave it there.
It's falling.
That's a bad omen. It's like phones falling out of me. Most of my stories are horrible car purchases. It's not necessarily like car modifications.
I mean, those are just as bad.
The problem is buying cars sight unseen or buying cars like via like an online marketplace, right?
Yeah.
So I had this bright idea in 2019. This is before pandemic. Maybe 2018, I really wanted a new car. You know, I wanted to get a new car or slightly new used car. And I hadn't bought a used or a new car in years because I lived in Chicago for a while. I had this old Subaru Impreza. You know, I put like 100,000 miles on it. I never really, like, Chicago has really crappy roads. So I never thought of getting like a sports car or a high performance car. And finally, living in California, I had some money. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get a cool sports car or something like that. So I go on in Carvana, and I see
interesting stories.
First mistake.
Yeah. Mistake number one.
One, I hate dealerships. I absolutely despise dealerships.
Oh, no, they
I
suck.
Hate car salesmen.
The
I hate
Steelers. The Steelers.
Dealership. I hate the whole process of buying a car. The upselling. The insurance. Like, hey, do you want extra extended insurance? Hey, do you want?
Or they throw it in without you even asking.
They throw it in,
and they're like, oh, it's part of the price of the vehicle.
Right. Right. Yeah. Or they put the, what do you call it, the door. The windshield things.
Oh,
or the
or the
underbody protection.
The Honda dealership,
body
and they
protection.
Did that all the time.
Wheel locks. For $200?
I hate dealerships. So when I saw the Carvana ads is like 7-day guarantee, or a 7-day guarantee, bring it back, you know, send it back, free delivery, you know, our own financing, insurance, all through them. I'm like, this sounds like a great deal.
Easy peasy,
lemon squeezy. Sign me up. So I log in. I'm looking through all these cars or whatever. And I, like, at the corner of my eye, I'm like, Dodge Charger. I'm like, oh, you know, big saloon. It's practical. I kind of wanted, like, a four-door, at least four-wheel drive car, but something that would do, like, good, like, road trips or long-distance driving.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted kind of like an SUV, four-door SUV. Didn't quite want a two-door sports car, but just something that was practical but had a lot of power. So like an M3, M5, maybe a Mercedes-Benz, a E63 AMG or something. But those are all really kind of expensive even at that time with miles.
Yeah.
But I saw this Dodge Charger. I'm like, oh, man, I can get a Dodge Charger Hellcat for... I think it was $42,000 or $45,000.
Oh, that was cheap. Nice.
And this was, and it had 15,000 miles.
Oh, it's like brand
one
new.
One owner, 15,000 miles. I think it was like whatever that gray that they had.
Yeah.
This was not the wide body at the time. They were still making the narrow body car.
Right.
So it's kind of like the same car you would buy, or same car they would give you when you went to an enterprise rental agency.
But I had
just with a 707 horsepower supercharged 6.2 liter V8 or whatever.
Didn't
with,
it require like the red key to
red key.
Did it come with that, or was
the,
it missing?
It came, it had all the keys. Okay. I had the two red keys and then one black key, which was the valet key. It would put it, keep it at 400 horsepower or deactivate cylinders or something like that. Okay. So, and the great thing about the financing through Carvana at the time, zero down.
Sick.
And the payment was ridiculous. It was like $800 a month or whatever. But I didn't have to put anything down on this thing at a low, super low interest rate. And I financed it $800 a month. Great.
Sounds awesome.
Right. They deliver,
what could go wrong?
What could go wrong? On sight unseen, car delivered to me. Car gets delivered to me, start it up, sounds great, whatever, drive it around, you know, get past the 7-day window of returning the car. Now it's mine and, you know, I'm paying for it. So my first service, they go through, these engines actually kind of go through oil a little bit. You have to do oil changes on these cars maybe every 6,000 miles or whatever. Mm-hmm. So
also 16 spark plugs.
Yeah.
It's a twin spark.
Mm-hmm. It's a twin spark. It's a
That wonderful plugs. Hemi engine.
It's it's a motor. It's a, you know, it sounds great. Mm-hmm. The car's great, you know, mm-hmm. for how big it is. It has adjustable shocks. It's got big brakes. You know, really a ZF 8-speed mm-hmm. automatic, mm-hmm. really, really great car. Take it to its first service, and this is where kind of things start to go downhill.
Where did you take it?
I took it to a Chrysler Dodge Jeep dealer by the airport. You know which one I'm talking about?
Which airport?
SFO. So there's one, they have one or two different technicians, techs.
In Burlingame? Putnam.
Is it Putnam?
Yeah.
So there are two techs there. So I was part of a, and this is another thing about Dodge too, is the car clubs are kind of ridiculous. It's just, oh my God. Anyways, that's a whole nother story, but we could talk about car clubs and car culture and whatever. Anyways, so I unfortunately saw these people, San Mateo, Dodge, Charger, whatever car group, mm-hmm. and they meet at the pizza, what, at Round Table Pizza in San Mateo or mm-hmm. whatever, and they just talk shit about all the other people, all the other Dodge car clubs that are all horrible people, and then these are also horrible people too, but whatever. Anyways, they had really good connections with a bunch of SRT people, like mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. the Viper guys would take their cars to these techs.
Okay,
so I'll take my, you know, my Charger, my Hellcat Charger, these guys, they know what they're doing, because I heard that some of the other dealerships don't do that, like don't really like messing with SRT products or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
And then there's some techs that like really know how to take care of these cars. Great. So I take it there, I get a call. So it's like, just that it's like annual service, 6,000 mile, you know, do the check, whatever. Yep. Like, oh yeah, no problem. We'll call you back when the car's ready to get picked up. I'm in the Uber going back to my apartment in San Francisco. 10 minutes later, I get a call on my phone. I'm like, what is it?
I'm like, already. They're like, I ain't even out the parking lot yet.
Hey, James, there's a couple problems with your car. I'm like, what is it? Like, do you mind coming back to the dealership and talking about
not
it
coming
in person?
It's like, can you turn around?
I'm like, is it really that bad? They're like, yeah, we need, like, you. So I still had, the car still had a warranty.
Okay,
so it had like a 4-year, 5-year warranty on it. Yeah. And this is where things kind of go downhill. So I go back, I get back to the dealership. They're like, what do you want to hear? The good news or bad news? I'm like, whatever news. They're like, it's all bad news. I'm like, okay, where do we start? They're like, they got the car in the lift. Like, do you know what happened here? I'm like, what happened? So the previous owner of the car ripped, like, basically straight piped the whole exhaust.
Oh.
So from the interior of the car, it wasn't too loud. It just sounded like, man, this car is kind of loud and sounds really, really good. Mm-hmm. From the outside, people have told me the car was ridiculously loud. Just obnoxiously
waking
loud.
Waking up the whole neighborhood.
But I thought that's what, like, that it was supposed to be, like, from factory. I thought it was just supposed to sound ridiculous. And there were people, like, on the street just, staring at me. I think I got pulled over once or whatever for the car being so loud.
That car probably lives in my neighborhood now.
It probably lives in your neighborhood.
Every morning.
It was loud. It was really, really, really loud from the outside. Mm-hmm. But I was always driving. I never had somebody else driving and me film it from a distance.
Right.
Hey, check out my new car, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it was just always loud. And my work also complained about the car too.
Damn.
So the car's up on the lift and the tech is basically like, did you do this? I'm like, no, I bought it from Carvana. And they just
Dang.
I'm like, okay, so this is not the worst thing about the car? Like, no, this is not the worst thing about the car. So already, so they spot welded. They did a really shitty job of putting all these stripe pipes on. There's bad welding and stuff. Like the hangers are all been broken off or whatever. Mm. Like some of the exhaust is actually sagging or whatever. Mm. And all the resonators were taken out. So that's okay, the exhaust explains why the car is so freaking loud.
Right.
Fine. Mm-hmm. They bring the car back down and they're like, do you see anything wrong with the, because I never really opened the engine bay.
Right.
Like, I just got the car and just started driving around. Like, you know, whatever. I wasn't looking at it to modify, put in a new air intake in it. I just wanted to drive
the car.
Yeah. Right. I was just driving the car. So they pop the hood open. They're like, do you see anything wrong? I'm like, so the car has an Eaton, a 2.3 liter twin screw supercharger on it. Yeah. It's massive. Yeah. It's like basically the size of that box. And from the factory, they have little blue lines, paint for the screws for the supercharger.
Okay.
And they're all not in the same place.
No.
So they're like, somebody untorqued the bolts and popped the supercharger open. And this is something that you do to like quickly modify the car to like make it faster, or like mod the car or whatever. People would pop, like partially pop open the supercharger and port it, the intake. With like a Dremel. And like hopefully,
and just,
you know,
get the shot
particle
back and get the chunks
and just go,
out.
You know, and get all the particles out. So he, he's like and
like
also,
you're at a dentist appointment. Like, let me just create this cavity really quick.
And also there's sealant, like the sealant or
the gasket maker
gasket for it. It's also like not the same one.
Oh no.
I'm like, okay, so what's even worse? Like it gets better, buddy. I'm like, okay, now what? Your ECU is locked. So what that means is somebody modified the ECU. Somebody modified the ECU, and these types of ECUs, when the dealer hooks it up, and it spots like bad codes or like modifications done to the ECU, it immediately sends it to like FCA and says, "Hey, this is out of warranty. You cannot, you know, do warranty work on this car."
Right. So this is the point you realize. You're hosed.
I'm hosed. I'm so freaking hosed.
You know about the hottest Hellcat on the market. The homies down the street and hooked it up.
And then I asked this guy, like,
Exhibit was like, "Let me pimp your ride."
Oh man! And then, so I asked him, like, "Is the car at least like was it not stolen? Like, we don't think it's been stolen because these cars do have a habit of being stolen."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Can any other warranty work get done on the car?" They're like, "No. We can't touch this thing. We can't even like the tech was like, I'm not even supposed to touch this car. Mm-hmm. It's like from factory because of the bad codes in it." They're like, "Okay, here's the deal. If you want to make it us to work on the car, we can just put a new PCM in it or an ECU in it."
Right.
I was like,
"For
how much is that?
$15,000.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, "Oh, you know, the unit itself is two grand. And then the labor to unharness it and then reharness it or whatever is like, yeah, $5,000 or something like that."
They lied to you because it does not take that much.
Yeah.
So I call up Carvana.
We're in the wrong business.
Oh, man. Right. I call up Carvana, and I basically told them, like, "Yo, you guys sold me a lemon." They're like, "What are you talking about? It went through our 130-point inspection or whatever." I'm like, "How did you guys miss the exhaust?" And like, "Why is this car, like, 30 decibels louder than it should be?" They're like, "Eh, it's your problem now." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So I kept the car for maybe about half a year, and then I think I eventually sold it. So that's,
you're able to get rid of it.
I was able to get rid of it. I sold it. I traded it in. I was still kind of upside down in the car, but I was able to trade it in for the 991.1. For whatever reason, the dealer that I was selling or trading the car into really wanted that charger. Like he found knew somebody or found somebody to like to get it. Mm-hmm. And he really wanted it.
Because the kids love that. There's a specific community.
You know what? I still have one of the red keys.
Oh, do you?
I still have one of the red keys. Nice. Yeah. So that's my Carvana. You know,
I hit a charger recently.
You hit one?
I hit one.
Oh, yeah. You did tell us about that.
I think you were fine, but the charger probably was effed up because it's completely made out of toy plastic.
It's so funny. I was parking the 140 S-Class, the old Mercedes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's parallel parking, right?
Our cruise ship.
My cruise ship, right? And I'm doing a pull-up just to get it straightened out nice, centered in the spot. And I'm watching in front of me, and it's actually one of my neighbor's cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm moving up, and I'm moving up. And I swear I did not feel a thing, but all of a sudden charger move. No, there was no... I felt nothing. I just saw the charger move.
See, there's
a
really good video on the internet about this.
Oh, shit. Oh, shoot.
Yeah. What happened?
I hit it.
Oh, you
hit
it.
I hit it when I was doing my pull-up, so I hop out. I thought, all right. So what do you do? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The thought crossed my mind quickly, like, there's nobody out here.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it. There's no damage on the car. I could just walk away.
Yeah.
You could.
But that, as a car guy...
Right. It's like,
it doesn't feel right.
Common courtesy, right?
Yeah.
And I had a story when I was a teenager that kind of led to me not walking away.
Right.
So I don't know the guy that owns it, but I know where he lives because he wakes us up at 5:30 in the morning. Like,
oh, it's one of those people.
Loud as sin.
It's right here in my neighborhood. So I go or knock on his door. His kid answers the door. I'm like, hey, is your dad here?
Yeah.
Let me get him. Dad, there's some dude at the door. So I, hey, I'm really sorry. I might have given your bumper a little love tap.
Yeah.
You want to come out and look at it with me? So dude came out, and he's like, oh, yeah, it looks like you put a scratch on it there. I'm like, yeah, maybe. Look, I'll take care of it, but, you know, I just. But he's like, nah, don't worry about it.
Okay.
People here, you know, it gets it all the time. So he was, like, really cool about it. Mm-hmm. I was really happy about that because I wasn't real excited about having to pay to repaint
a bumper.
Yeah. Charger.
I'd have been like, you know what? I know a guy that
because
got
my land yacht
with a real sick buffing wheel, and he'll get that out for you in 2 seconds. Spit shine on it real quick. I got a really funny story.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about dealerships and driving in the stuff, I worked at a suburban Buick GMC dealership back in Michigan, and I was a service porter.
Mm-hmm.
That was just like
I was a service porter.
That was just a shit show in itself. Like I think about
that was the best job I've ever had.
No, it was.
Why was it because for you? Was it because you were able
I was
to
at
drive
a BMW dealer?
Oh, because cool cars.
And I was at a suburban Buick GMC dealership in the suburbs.
So lots of
you
throw
know what,
up.
You
and
know what?
Hair.
A, you know what? A mom. And her 6 kids can do to a Suburban or a Tahoe.
Unspeakable things.
Oh, my God.
Spill the gallon of milk from the grocery store in it.
Right.
And forget about it. Ooh. Like that BMW Lunar.
So we had a bunch of loaner cars, and we had a loaner. Now, this is why I hate car washes at dealerships. We had a loaner Suburban. And my service manager, he was always like, you know, big about washing the cars. And sure. We had a car wash, but the car wash didn't drag you through. You had to drive through it of your own accord.
Oh.
Yeah.
And this car, right. James understands this because he's never been through one of these self-driving car washes.
No, you just pull into it and it like goes up and down and washes the car.
No, right? You have to drive through the entire thing.
Oh.
Right. It's not like you just stay there in one spot. You're actively trying to.
There's like water coming down.
Yeah, everything.
Brushes
the brushes are spinning.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I go into there with the Suburban. Mind you, this is an old car wash. I go into it with the Suburban.
Suburban's big.
It's big.
Yeah.
And I'm just driving, and everything's going fine.
Oh, man.
But this car wash had a particular issue where the second door wouldn't automatically open.
The second door.
Yeah, so there was one door that opened when you pull up to it. You go in, and then it would close, and then the second door would open, and then you continue on, right?
Yeah.
And I always wanted the doors turned off and have them open, right? But in the wintertime, they couldn't be open. And then also, it was really loud when the dryers would come on. It was right next to the service lane. So they always wanted the doors to close.
Yeah.
The door did not open. And I was like, okay, you know, door not opening, that's fine. But the door isn't opening. The car wash is still going.
So you're in this Suburban?
Yes.
In a perpetual car wash?
In a perpetual car wash. I'm not even finished yet.
I want to know. Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, let me just back it up a little bit.
I was going to say, how did Miles solve this problem?
Let me just throw
it. But the other door's closed.
No. But I'm so deep into this is a long car wash. This isn't a short car wash. I'm not even near the other door anymore. The other door is gone at this point.
Okay.
I'm like, let me just throw it in a reverse real quick. You know, just real quick.
Yeah.
And I'm backing up and I'm like trying to hit the sensor or whatever. And I'm like, okay, let me just give it a little bit more. And the car wash is kind of making weird noises. And then all of a sudden I just hear this big crash. And then I feel like water and like air coming in the car. And I was like, oh shit, what happened? And I had backed up and if you know anything about glass, the rear glass is under, like, it's not under tension, but it's connected to the rear spoiler. And the car wash handle had pushed the rear spoiler up. And because you can open the rear glass on those cars, it pulled it and it shattered.
It shattered the back glass.
And I'm still stuck. The door hasn't opened yet. So
and then now you're getting wet.
So then I get out of the car, like car wash still going. The car wash is on 10. And then I like run out. I like hit the emergency stop. The door still doesn't open. I have to go like to the outside into like the workshop and hit like the door switch. I flip the door up. And then like the car wash went right into the service aisle. I like drive into the service aisle and I like point at the car to my service manager. And I'm like,
Oh, no.
What do we do now?
It's broken.
But it was a loner car.
It wasn't a customer car, thank God. Whew. I never tore up a customer car. Well, not there. To preface this, I know how to drive, viewers. I've only damaged a personal car, someone's personal car one time, and it was because the facility we worked at had really tight turns and a lot of shipping crates.
Oh, geez.
And I just so happened to back up a little, like at 1 mile an hour, a GT3 RS into one of these shipping crates, and it just so happened to tear a little hole in the PPF.
Oh, and the PPF.
Yes.
That's what the PPF
is
there for.
A piece of plastic. So it ended up being a very minor fix. But that's the only time I've ever actually destroyed a customer car. It wasn't even destroyed. It was
just a little nick.
Yeah. I was a lot porter also at a BMW dealer. And we had an automatic car wash as well that you drove in and you just kind of sat there the car wash went back and forth. Right? I was in it one day in an E36 M3. It was a customer's car in Techno Violet. Mm-hmm. So not too far off of that.
Kind of like that.
It had these mirrors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which are the little
mirrors, right? So they're not the breakaway, fold up. They are a breakaway though, and they break away by falling off. So I'm just sitting here minding my own business, and the washer's going back and forth, and it comes by, and the washer knocked the mirror off, and it's hanging against the door by the cable.
Oh my god!
You know, with the brushes hitting.
Yeah, it's just slapping. God. It's just flopping around.
Yeah. I pull out, and there were a bunch of guys that worked there. They were all from Serbia, really cool dudes.
Okay.
And like one of the guys looks at it, and he's like, "Nije dobro," which means no good. But he picks it up, and like there's no damage, and he pops it back in place. So like I dodged the bullet. Wow.
Sick.
But I thought it was gonna scratch.
Flew off. Like because I know it's like a federal regulation.
Yeah.
But they just
broke off. It shouldn't have popped off. I don't know. It shouldn't have come up, but it did.
Aren't they supposed to? Because isn't it like a pedestrian safety thing? Yeah. That's why the mirrors fold.
But, it should withstand the car wash.
It should just fold. Right. But I did not know that. Fun fact.
Yeah.
BMW mirrors may spontaneously shoot off like in a James Bond film.
Another time I was in there in the same car wash in a loner car, a Subaru.
Oh, Subaru.
With an aerial antenna.
Oh no.
That went up when you turned the radio on. So I'm sitting there and I'm kind of bored.
Listen to the radio.
Let me turn this on.
Let's hear what's on the radio.
What's on NPR right now?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
That happened to my dad's Mustang because they had the tall antennas.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into the car wash and he came out and there's just a gaping hole in the fender. Just gone. Like, didn't even like leave the base or anything. Just ripped the whole thing out. Another story about that car wash, since we're talking about car washes, they are the devil. Car washes are do not take your car through
hand
car wash.
Two bucket method.
Yeah.
The first door on this car wash, I was in another loaner car. And the door opens, and it's a GMC Canyon. I'm just do-do-do-do-do. And all of a sudden, I just hear this just loud, like just crumbling. Just
grinding whatever.
And I look out the rearview mirror, and the glass from the door has fallen into the bed of the truck.
Oh, my gosh.
And because the door is broken, I now have to go through the car wash with the glass.
Dude, this car wash sounds like the devil.
This was terrible.
It was the enemy, okay? It was my enemy. And I hated it so much, and I would have to clean it, too. It was so bad. Oh, my God. And then I had to drive out of the car wash. And once again, I get back to the service aisle, and I'm like,
this
Kyle,
what happened?
Please
fix
please.
It.
Oh, I'm so sick of this car wash.
Horrible.
That car wash was trying to end me. Oh goodness. Man. Car mishaps.
How about moving violations?
Oh, okay.
Moving violations?
So I don't have a moving violation story, but so this car is long gone. And I'm pretty sure this man is in jail.
Oh boy.
We had a he might not be in jail, but he had to get rid of the car from what I heard. 997 Turbo S cab.
Okay.
Probably made 700-800 horsepower. We need to tune it, but we don't have a dyno.
We don't have all-wheel drive dynos.
Okay.
Can you go get some driving data in the tuning company? We need third and fourth gear pulls.
Yeah, full RPM.
From 2000 to redline and an 800 horsepower 997 turbo.
Third gear and fourth gear?
No, yeah.
You're doing 160 miles an hour, buddy.
So I'm like...
So where was your test track? Woodward Avenue?
101.
So no. So we were... This is here.
Oh.
And we know the San Mateo Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
But I was supposed to do it before getting on the bridge. And I'm like, do-do-do-do-do, and I'm doing my last little... Done, and I was like, damn it, I missed my exit. I then called the boss mans. I'm like, hey, boss mans. mind you, also, this car had a really weird issue where it would just not, it would like stall and not start back up.
Oh, weird.
That is weird.
And
maybe it was like fuel.
I'm gonna tell you exactly what it was.
Okay.
Maybe.
The engine ground strap was loose.
Oh,
that's so annoying.
And you don't know it.
Seriously?
Yes. Because you had taken the engine out. So the engine ground strap was loose.
So who forgot to put the engine ground?
It was me. No, it was on there, but it just was loose. Like, the nut just wasn't quite tight enough.
I sense a theme here.
I wasn't a good technician. I was not built to work on cars. So then I called the boss mans, and I'm like, hey, boss mans, I'm on the bridge. And I had just moved to California, too, and I was like, I got to pay a toll fee. Oh, this car might not make it. It's traffic. I'm, like, struggling.
And is it stuttering? Is it like
no? It was good. Bucking? It actually was okay. This whole little thing, but I was sweating. My ass was so tight. You probably could have seen the leather gripped up in the seat
because of a $7 toll.
No, just because
I mean,
hey, it was a lot of money for me back then. But no, nice because story. I was in a customer car. Yeah. I was going way off the beaten path. Yep. These cars aren't cheap. I was like...
Unfamiliar territory.
Right. I'm like, is he going to be okay? Like, I'm about to lose my job. And like, they're like, oh, it's fine.
Oh, man. They're I got to get on the 880.
They're like, it's chill. They're like, no. There was the 880 has perpetual traffic. I would have... You want to talk about accidents? I would have caused a massive... I would have been on the 7 o'clock news. Young man in Porsche 911 totals 10 cars and is now
doing third, fourth gear pulls.
Yeah, doing third. And is still driving. For testing. Is still out there driving.
He has still not been found. Yeah. Please report him if you see him. That was also just not fun. I hated doing like boosts and
public pools.
I did because like as fun as it is to drive a fast car, it's not fun driving somebody else's car on the street at work for testing purposes. Yeah.
Not to mention other people around you.
Right.
That too, yeah.
Yeah. The unpredictable Altimas.
So unpredictable Altimas. I used to charge out pre-production cars. And it wasn't an Altima. We used to have a drive in pairs. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
So depending on what location you were at, if you were at the Chrysler location, I'm pretty sure what happened to me is why everybody drives by themselves now.
Policy because of.
But at the Ford location, they made you drive in threes, and they didn't give you navigation. They gave you a little paper MapQuest map.
Oh,
okay.
I hated it.
MapQuest.
Yeah. Yes. And
kicking it old school.
Yeah. But so I was at the Chrysler location. I had this was 2018, 2019, and I had a 2021 Dodge Challenger, so a prototype vehicle at the time.
Okay.
They're still using MapQuest in 2018?
Yes, Jeremy. Hmm. It was because I don't know why. Because like all the other locations, they put a little Garmin in the car with the route pre-programmed in it. At the Ford location, for some reason, they were just really lazy. And they were like, nah, y'all gonna use these map directions. And like, I remember because I was driving like a brand new Mach 1. And I'm trying to like, and I was like a leader. So then I'm trying to like make sure I'm hitting all the points mm-hmm. on the route while also trying to shift gears mm-hmm. and like also not be seen by the public.
You got this like paper and then you're like trying to shift gear.
Got it up on the driving.
There's no hands on the wheel. There's no feet on the steering.
Literally,
there's
I'm
no
just
feet on the accelerator.
I am.
That sounds like a disaster.
Dr. Xavier, and I'm actually using telepathy to drive the vehicle. But anyway, I was in this Challenger, and I had a follower, and he was in a Dodge Ram. And we were maybe 10 minutes from the Auburn Hills facility. Mm-hmm. And okay. we're on a 4-lane road. Mm-hmm. So two with no center turn, mm-hmm. okay. just a double yellow. Mm-hmm. And Bambi decides to take a break in the right lane. Bambi got hit by somebody earlier in ooh. The day. So the right lane is blocked. I'm like, ooh, let me get over, avoid Bambi. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But because it's the type of street that it is, there's mm-hmm. left turning from the left lane. Mm. And I'm like, oh, shit, let me hit the brakes. There is this Jeep in front of me.
Oh.
I hit the brakes. I don't hit the car. But guess what happened next?
Your friend behind you.
Oh.
I am now a Chrysler sandwich.
Oh.
And
oh no,
I was smushed in between a Jeep Grand Cherokee and a Christ in the Ram 1500.
Oh my god!
Man.
Smushed.
No airbags.
Oh.
Fortunately, I wasn't badly hurt.
This was pre-production.
Yeah, but the airbags definitely should have went off.
Don't buy a Dodge Charger.
And fortunately, the only thing that I walked away with is I have like floaters in my eyes from it.
Yeah, we're sitting here laughing, but
it could have been a lot worse. I could have died. Yeah. I could have gone to FCA heaven. And they what's the rap song? He would talk about bury him in his Bugatti. I'd have been buried in a Dodge Charger. But fortunately, yeah, the only thing that I walked away from with that accident was just like a couple of floaters in my eyes. So like just dead pixels.
That sounds pretty horrid.
It's not bad. So like as I like look out, you don't see them. It's almost like because the brain is really smart, so it can like
adjust.
Yeah, it can like, get rid of them.
Yeah.
But if I look at like a white page or something and like start moving my eyes really quick, you can start see them like moving.
Are they in the shape of like a Grand Cherokee or
the Dodge emblem on the airbag that didn't go off?
Sorry,
that's bad. Yeah,
funny, not funny.
No, it's okay. I can laugh about it now. But I mean, it was funny then too. Like even when I got out the car, I was like, God damn. And because we all take the same route,
yeah.
Guess who was in the Jeep in front of us? Our manager.
Oh, jeez.
But thank God it was him, because if it was a pedestrian car, this would have been a very different kind of day.
Yeah.
Because like I don't. You know, we talk about like dealerships and stuff, and you hit shit. When you hit something in a pre-production car that isn't a wall mm-hmm. and it's somebody else, you may as well just kiss everything goodbye. Mm-hmm. the same facility, not the testers, but an actual engineer. This is why they don't give Vipers out anymore.
Well, in general,
we know where this is going.
He sent it under a guardrail and he died.
Oh that's
my
awful.
God.
And
seriously?
Yeah. And that like it happens so often. Like these people, they work on these projects and they like this is their project.
They're going
car.
All out.
Yeah.
And they bin it. Spin and then they ruin it for whatever. Everybody else.
Wow.
At my facility, we have high performance vehicles that no one is allowed to drive.
Yeah.
Like two people in the entire building.
They have to have a certain
they have to be trained by that automaker
right.
to then drive yeah. that vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mishaps. Just lots of bad mishaps. But back to more funny, not mm-hmm. so somber notes. As you can see, my whole life has been so many, but I'm still here. I'm still standing, gang.
The only time I've like really like binned I've done it a couple of times, but thankfully it's been on track, so I can either talk about the Mustang one's my completely my fault, but let's rewind the clock a little bit. So a friend of mine let me drive their I've never driven an E90 M3 so not the E92, which is the four door, but the two door version of that, right?
E92.
With the V8 yep. the mm-hmm. was it yep. S65 motor
yep
right. So I've never driven one before. A friend of mine just bought one, and he wants to set it up for the track. And he's done a few things to it, like hawk brakes, braided lines, just very, very minor things just to get mm-hmm. a track prepped. And I asked him, like, hey, do you mind if I borrow the... Because, like, we're really good friends. And he was like, hey, if you want to borrow any of my cars to drive them, like, just let me know. And I was like, hey, you just got the E90. Do you mind if I drive that? I've never driven one before. He's like, yeah, of course. Yeah. Have it for the weekend and drive it at, I had an event at Laguna Seca. It was with like Speed SF or something like that, or one of those organizations.
Right.
Yeah. So, drove it down to Laguna from SF. Great cruiser, like quiet, you know, good, decent power, you know, good passing power, whatever, relatively speaking. We haven't clapped it out yet, like ripped out all the sound deadening and put a roll bar in, big wing. It's just very, very stock. Drive it down Laguna, stay overnight, go to the track, and I'm driving on track, and it's a pretty decent track car. I wouldn't say it's like a BRZ.
This is the coupe, right?
This is the coupe, yeah. Very, like, well-balanced, but the traction control would interfere a lot. It would just cut in all the time. Just try to put the power down a little earlier. Yeah. Traction control. Like, it was very, you know, all or nothing. So I got really comfortable with the car. And I was like, you know, it's got a good balance to it. There's not so much power where you spin the tires real, real good. It's just, like, there's not that much torque, but decent horsepower.
Real quick, six-speed or DCT?
DCT.
Okay.
Yeah. So DCT, like, you know, I had an auto for a little bit. Then I, most of the time, had like the manual shift mode or whatever, like maximum harshness or whatever the settings were.
There's like the M button, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's like an M button, gives you more power, all that fun stuff. And like faster shifting and like stiffer suspension and stuff like that. So like I got really comfortable with the car, and this is where things kind of go downhill. Turn four, which is kind of that off camber right turn after turn three.
Yes.
Right? So you have the big long straight.
It's not super off camber, but it's flat and it's really awkward.
It's
really
kind of an awkward turn.
And this is Laguna Seca.
This is Laguna Seca.
I'm trying
to over the tire.
So one, two and three,
four.
Yeah.
Towards turn five up the hill, right?
Yep.
So this turn can mess up people.
Oh, yeah.
But if you take it at a certain speed and also don't run over the bump or the rumble strip, the sausage, you're pretty much good.
Yeah, you're chilling.
You know, you're chilling. Some people pin it over there. It's usually over speed and then they spin it.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm really comfortable with this car. I got this. So traction control completely off. I do like one, like half a lap with it off. I'm, you know, flying down from out of three or whatever, straight down there, and I don't know what happened. I think I still have track footage of it, and it's hilarious because you kind of hear me like say, "Oh shit!" So you give it like good brake, right, and then you don't yank the wheel.
Yeah.
You just kind of slight. It's not a crazy turn.
You slow it so that you can turn the car.
So you turn the car, and then the car's rotating. I'm like, okay, here we go. And I feel the slight bump. I hit the sausage. Just a little nick. Just hit the sausage. Like, it's fine.
Right.
And then I start applying the power just a little bit, easing the power, and I'm spinning. I'm like literally like going,
that's all it took.
Dude.
And wait, but which way did you spin? I spun towards the left?
Or? So I spun towards the right and then came backwards.
Oh, ooh. No.
Yeah.
So you came around four.
Four.
And then you went this way.
I think I went that way. I have to look at the footage or something like that. Or maybe I spun around.
Okay.
And then did a 180 and then was coming backwards, probably. Oh, that might have happened. And my leg was so hard on that brake, man, that... And by the time my friend's car's rear left bumper hit the tire, it was like maybe 10 miles an hour or something like that.
Okay.
It just went... You could just feel the bounce like, boing.
Oh, thank God.
I'm like, oh yeah, okay. This is not too bad. And my leg was like cramped. Just like
Jason put just all on, his
on that
like
brake,
F1 brake just pedal like press
so hard. I get back to the pits. My friend's like, yo, what happened? I'm like, oh, I spun it at four. He's like, oh shit. So we look around the car and then we get in the back and there's like this massive dent in the rear.
Damn.
And I'm like, dude, I'll take care of it. I'm so sorry about that, you know. And so we go to the shop. And I think it's just like, you know, we just like knock it out or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Nope.
No.
Full new rear pin? Bumper. Respray.
Everything.
It's like, I'm $5,000 into it.
Ooh. Jesus.
Fuck me.
Jesus.
Oh my God. I was like,
this is brought
to you. I shouldn't have said anything. I'm like,
Hagerty,
oh man.
Track insurance.
Sucks for, yeah, exactly. I was like, what I should have done was like, hey man, this sucks. This is your problem now. I would have saved $5,000. But you know.
No, but
it's
you
friend,
did the responsible.
You follow the responsible car guy ethos.
Yeah, no. Being in it at the racetrack is not fun. I've never. The only time I've spun out on track is at Buttonwillow, but there's nothing there, so I didn't hit anything.
Yeah,
and that was just some really bad lift off oversteer in my Mini Cooper.
Yeah,
I spun getting on the Autobahn in Germany.
Oh my God!
What?
Last day of I went on an epic adventure in 2018 in our old 986 Boxster to the circle and back.
Fun. Oh wow!
Last day, we got up real early. We wanted to get home. It was a little cool out.
A little damp.
A little damp out. And I was on the summer tires.
I don't like where this is going.
100 tread wear.
A little bit old, too.
Used.
Yeah, they still had good tread.
DOT date was 2005.
At that point, I think they were 7 or 8 years old.
Oh, Jesus.
They were getting a little old, right?
No.
Okay.
And, you know, getting on the Autobahn, I'm doing about 65 kilometers per hour and just enjoying the ride. And it's like slow, it's
slow,
all, it's
motion.
slow motion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can feel the rear end starting to come around.
Mm. Oh, no.
So I didn't overreact. I just let off the throttle.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was probably a mistake in that car. Because the rear end just kept on coming.
It just slipped out of you.
Well, because then then everything that was this way is now this way.
Exactly.
It's unloaded.
Oh, you had to power off. Mm-hmm. Oops.
Yeah
you should have kept. You should have kept it in.
I should have kept it.
Or just modulate it. But we're not race car drivers.
When in doubt, power out. You know, that seems to work all the time.
I think you're right.
Does it really?
No.
Exactly.
it could have worked, or it could have sent me out into the traffic, which would have been really ugly.
Yeah.
So I slid off into the mud. Packed the valve stem of the tire was at the bottom.
Oh.
And went into the mud.
Uh-huh.
And so some guy came along and pulled me out, and I went on my way. I was with a friend, and we get like 500 kilometers down the road, and I get off to get gas.
Can you hear it knocking around?
No, I noticed nothing. Car felt fine. Car drove great. Uh-huh. I get gas, and I look at the left rear tire. I'm like, ooh, damn, I need to put some air in this thing. It's damn near flat.
Right.
So in Germany, you just go in and get the air tank. It's free, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I come out, and I stick it on the valve. Air is coming out around the edge of the valve as fast as it's going in.
Oh, no.
Oh shit. So I had aired up the spare tire because 986s still have a spare tire.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Before the trip.
The thing dreams are made of.
Man.
Lifesaver.
Lifesaver. Put it on. 18-year-old spare tire.
Oh, my God.
And I still had 200 kilometers to go.
You had a Flintstone wheel on your car.
Flintstone wheel. But it gets funnier. It had the 18-inch turbo twist.
Okay.
They
don't
fit in the frunk. So you either...
Homie was riding passenger.
Put it in the passenger seat.
But
or
you had a passenger.
If you're lucky... No. I had a buddy in his car.
Oh, okay.
A C92 M3, actually.
Okay.
Practical.
He took my wheel for me.
How nice. Kind.
And we got off the Autobahn, because it's illegal to drive with a Space Saver spare on the Autobahn.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's probably illegal here, too, but everybody does it.
Yeah, that's not about right for the Americans.
Just go to Oakland.
Well, because the rule is 50 miles at 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But who's following that?
I've definitely seen an Altima with all four wheels with spares.
I think it was 90 miles an hour. Last week. You know, with the hazards on.
With the hazards on.
Oh, it's okay. The hazards are on.
I'm not.
Gonna catch me riding.
The police aren't messing with that. Nobody else is messing with that car.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, it could have been a lot worse, I guess.
It could have been.
Yeah.
I guess if the tire had blown out.
I've never... Sucked.
I couldn't feel anything. It felt fine.
I have never crashed a personal car.
Really?
Nope.
Better find some wood to knock on.
Yeah, dude, something.
Never crashed a... I've been in accidents, but I have never crashed one of my personal cars. I've never caused an accident either.
You don't want to know what my car insurance is.
I think we talked about it. And then you asked me what mine was, and you're like, damn.
It's so bad. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm paying, like, pennies. But I also drive the safest vehicle on Earth.
You do.
Well, one of my cars is the safest vehicle on Earth.
Yeah.
So that drives it way down. Mishaps.
Oh, we're coming up on time.
We are coming up on time.
Oh.
Closing notes. You are not your mistakes.
Don't buy a used car from Carvana.
Okay.
I'm probably going to do it again anyways.
No,
because I hate dealerships. But
I'll close it out with my worst mishap for buying a used car. My BMW. My pride and joy.
Yep.
I bought this car used from a Toyota dealership. It was on sale. It was $19,000. Had 72,000 miles on it.
And it was a 330? 335.
This is a great deal.
It's a fantastic deal.
It's a good deal.
Great deal. New BMW. Mm-hmm. I had a Mini Cooper before this. The Mini Cooper was bulletproof.
Yeah.
Those are two. Right.
We could do an episode on that.
Those
alone.
Are two words that should not exist together.
Bulletproof.
My Mini Cooper was
Mini
God.
Mini Cooper and bulletproof. Right?
My Mini Cooper was God sent, and it was bulletproof. I drove the wheels off of, you can, James, you remember you met
I've
me.
I've seen it. Yeah, it was hilarious.
The wheels off of that car. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that broke on that car was the engine mount. And off almost 4 years of owning that car, not an oil leak. Uh-huh. It was tuned, full of bolt-ons. Took it to the racetrack multiple times. Snow, rain, everything. Nothing.
Okay.
I had this BMW for 1 month with a tune on it. 1 month. And I'm like, it's a 2014. BMWs don't do that thing anymore. They don't
explosions.
Do that. They don't do that thing. And I was like, we went on a drive.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, James, do you hear that?
Oh, you were with him?
I was with him, yeah.
I was like, James, do you hear that? That sound kind of funny, but it was intermittent. I'm like, what's happening? It would like, dunk, 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 and then it would go away. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, I don't know. And I'm driving.
It wasn't like it was misfiring or anything.
No,
like
it was running fine. There was no check engine light, no nothing. Yeah. I'm just do-do-do-do-do, going up nine.
Meanwhile, the engine's grenading.
It's knock, 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 knock,
and
knock,
then it's
knock,
like
knock, knock.
Starting to break up, and like then it's starting to go into limp mode. I'm like, what's wrong? Oh. And then I pull over, and I'm like, okay. I'm like, something is wrong. Something wrong. And I, the next day, I took it to a BMW specialty shop, and I was like, what's the verdict? And they're like, we cut open your oil filter, and you may as well have an iron mine in there. And I was like, God damn. And it did the BMW thing. It spun a rod bearing.
Oh, my God.
Which is crazy because I didn't know the M55 still had this issue. This issue even still plagues some of the B58s, which is the real bulletproof inline.
You can have rod bearing issues in a B58?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They don't tell you that. The BMW kids won't tell you that, but you can. $5,000 later.
Oh, my God.
Thank God I know how to work on cars because I did put that car back together, and it has been much better than it was when I first got it, and I thank God
for it.
Yeah. Because he really did carry me through that because that was rough. I thank God for my bosses at the time because they allowed me to drive the work truck for the month that it took me to put the car back together. Uh-huh, yeah. And it wasn't a month because it took a month. The entire engine install only took a weekend.
Yeah.
It was because I had a boss that was constantly hyping me up. Miles, get a turbo for it. Get this. Get that.
Oh, no.
Part.
Oh,
get it,
no.
Get it.
So
get
you
it.
Spent a month gathering parts.
Gathering parts to make this super BMW that I have now. Mm-hmm. That prayerfully will be going away very soon.
So if anybody's interested, Miles is selling his BMW.
That's right.
Nice. You are not your past mistakes, guys. You are only what you are today in the present, and we always look forward to the future.
And open the hood before you buy a car.
Open the hood before you buy a car.
First of all, forget that. Don't buy a car.
Look underneath it. Yeah, look underneath it first. Open the hood. Smell it.
And
once.
Make sure you tighten the...
The engine ground strap.
The engine ground strap. Yeah. And you're tightening
your timing belt tensioner.
Oh,
this was a fun one.
Our friends are never going to let us work on their cars again, which honestly is probably a good thing.
You know what? It was a learning experience. I'll never make.
Yeah, I will never make those mistakes. I will never buy a BMW. I'm just kidding. Let me tell you something. But this has been the Mischief Podcast.
Thanks for watching.
Until next
or
time.
Listening.
Listening, or watching.
Both. Yeah.
All of it. All right. Until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.